And welcome back to the Why Hockey Podcast. It's been a while, but I have the true March Madness for you. When Thomas Kulikowski texts me and saying, "It's podcast o'clock," you don't know how happy that makes me.
And despite my last name, I am Irish, so I would say something like that.
Are you?
Yes.
I wouldn't have guessed that at all.
I identify more as the Kulikowski part, but...
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not like my last name doesn't give away any hints. Damn. Slightly.
Well, curious. at least you are good at soccer.
No, I'm not. Maybe I'm good at calling soccer, but not playing it. Let's be honest, though. I wouldn't be using the FIFA rules to get eligibility to play for Germany. I'll say that much. Does the IIHF have the same eligibility rules? I bet they do, because you could have a bunch of Canadians playing for South Korea at the Olympics last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't think it's as lax, because it's not applied to the top nations as well, where like in hockey, it's usually just for those developing nations, like the nations they're trying to, get national programs started and stuff. Like Switzerland for a while had a lot of like Canadians and stuff and building up the program in like the 80s and stuff and all the way through. So you see that with like South Korea and stuff now, and in the women's programs you see that as well.
We have the biggest dual national controversy in the history of professional hockey when Paige Dixon's kids, who could play for both Canada and the United States, have to make a decision. Hi Paige, hope they play for the U.S.
Oh, no, they're playing for Canada.
I fear that.
They're going to be good enough to play for Canada. I fear that.
That's the problem. Did you know, there was a funny little story that Paige was telling, that her oldest kid was playing with some little hockey tournament, and he actually got into a fight, in air quotes, with Jeff Merrick's oldest son. And I texted them both, and I'm like, of course this happened. This is the funniest thing ever.
Well, you know.
All halves of the Why Hockey podcast coming together and crossing over.
Sometimes you play your best games after fights in practice with the teammates. So, you know, it happens. There's probably, you know, a good 12 minutes explaining it in Mystery Alaska.
Yes.
If you want to go watch the film.
I'm still harboring out the hope one day that you and I are going to do a live recording of watching one of those bad hockey movies. Mystery Alaska was my first choice. And then maybe Goon's a decent movie. We've got other choices of bad movies.
It would definitely be Mystery Alaska over the Miracle, because I think everyone does Miracle. Everyone, that's a.
Oh, I was thinking of other. There was a zombie.
Not a big Miracle guy.
Movie. I forget what it was called.
Was it produced by Rob Zombie?
It was not produced by Rob Zombie. It would have been better. I think it's called Apocalypse if you actually look it up. But I don't remember the actual name of that movie. I read a thing. Barry Melrose made a cameo in that movie. I think it's called Apocalypse if you look it up. I'm not making this up. This is a real movie that exists.
There is a Rob Zombie Broad Street Bullies documentary or movie
true.
Or something out there.
That was that, but that's been around for a while. So, do you know NHL Network is now showing all the old hockey movies? So now they're apparently showing Youngblood with Rob Lowe in a couple of weeks.
That's good. I might have to DVR that one, or PVR it for our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, that's a lot of hockey.
What's the P stand for in PVR?
Personal. Custom? Yeah.
Personal video recording.
Maybe we should ask the people who work for Rogers to tell us that.
I feel like for all the nations that are closer to the Queen's English, they always have a lot more weirder slang and an alternative naming for things.
Have you heard British slang before?
That's what I mean. Like the closer you get to Queen's English, and like the worse it sounds.
Oh, unless you're going in certain places in this country. There was a player for Temple.
Nothing,
I know it's not a March Madness podcast, but there's a player for Temple that was nicknamed Shiz Alston. Come on, is that not the filliest thing you've ever heard?
I think that Americana. Vernacular is some of the most creative and best. It's outside the box, and that's what I like about it.
Oh, yeah, only in Philly would you have people saying JAWN and using it in casual speech for everything. Okay,
yep.
Let's skip on to that and focus on some hockey things. This is gonna basically,
voila.
Yes, best ever, better than Sheets, obviously. We're going to f- focus on the Panthers here, of course, and we're going to talk about all sorts of Panthers-related things for the season. This is going to kind of be the de facto season wrap-up because the rest of the season doesn't matter, aside from whether Sam Mountainbow plays well. Lots to get to. I actually want to start with Sam Mountainbow, sir, and I was surprised that he got all the starts that he did, to be honest with you. I was happy that they decided to play him because I was worried they weren't. And since he's played, I have Sean Tierney's wonderful tableaus up of the shot charts with expected goals. And, I mean, we've been talking about Mountainbow a little bit between ourselves and how he's been playing. And with young goalies, it's different now because you could be a guy like Carter Hart and come in and play really well, or you could be a guy like Jordan Binnington and catch fire. And we don't know necessarily the consistency of said goalie, but Sam Mountainbow's played pretty decently in his first 7 games. And the losses, the 3 of them, are not on him by any means. And you watch him play, and I haven't seen him play enough. I've not watched a lot of Springfield Thunderbirds. You can't watch the Junior Panthers play after watching the Senior Panthers do the same thing. So, for me, I mean, he was more impressive than I thought he would be. He's got some issues in his game, but he's a young goalie, and he's played better than I thought. And I wrote about this on the Rap Trek, and we'll get into this, that if Mountainbow continues to play this well, he's going to get more starts down the rest of the season. But if he continues to play like this, it changes the calculus of what the Panthers are going to do with the goaltending position this offseason, and that probably would be for the better.
And as relieved I am to finally see Mountainbow get games, I'm a little disappointed and discouraged by how it's happening. He's not playing tonight against Arizona. I think that's a good game to give him. Arizona's in a playoff push, but they're not necessarily a strong team. They don't have an offense that's really just going to overpower a rookie goalie. But they're playing hard. They're playing for something at this point in the season, and that's good for Mountainbow to see. But instead, they kind of ran him a little dry, putting him in that back-to-back when, you know, that's the game to give Lou, to allow yourself to set up Mountainbow to go down a stretch and to take these games. And it's that type of coaching mistake that's still going to happen next year if they keep Bugner or hire a coach like Bugner after firing him, if that's what they do. It's annoying that on top of that, we're never going to see enough of Mountainbow, whether he plays the remaining games or not. You're not going to get a big enough sample to really do anything other than, all right, Mountainbow is a good NHL backup next year, maybe something else more than that, but we need to see him more before we know for sure. You could have given him 25 more games this year. The opportunities were there. People were standing up and pointing it out that this was an opportunity to bring in Sam Mountainbow. Everyone kind of felt, most people, I want to say, felt like the Panthers and didn't think it was necessary to bring him up to give him more games. But now when you've already made a trade, clearing out 2 centers that could be third-line centers on a lot of teams in this league, for cap space to go all in on a big free agent goalie like Bobrovsky, and then now you're readjusting the calculus because you're giving games to a goalie who should have been playing for a while now, and he's showing promise, he's showing he can do something, but you know, whether he plays 10 games, 15 games, it's not going to be enough to, and especially in the environment he's playing in, it's not going to be enough to know if he's consistent, if he's going to be able to mature at a quick enough pace to really save yourself from going in on Bobrovsky or doing something else. And, you know, it's probably going to end up with a story where Mountainbow kind of develops like Matheson into a mid-late 20s guy who's still banking on this unclaimed potential because the team that drafted him didn't know how to usher him into full-time NHL role.
Now, I will give the Panthers this. I don't think it's a guarantee that they do what we thought they were going to do with Bobrovsky. And the reason is because he's played so well and there were enough Monty chance at home games that I think they have to rethink it.
What are they doing? What's the response instead? Is it just, okay, well, then next year you're going in with Luongo and Mountainbow? Because
that would be bad. So, what I suggested that they do And I think that it's still possible that they do this because they'll have the cap space and ability to make these decisions. Is if you're not going to go out and get Bobrovsky because you think Montembeau is going to play 30 games, and if you think he can play 30 games, at some point in those 30 games, perhaps he plays well enough that he takes over the net for good. Perhaps. You can't bank on that, but if you're giving him 30 games or 25 games, which is about as much as you want your backup to play, unless you're the Golden Knights, you want to have a goalie in front of him that is not entrenched in that position, right? And if you've got Bobrovsky, you can't have a $10 million a year goalie backup. You can't have that. And you've been talking a lot about the possibility that it could exist, that there might be compliance buyouts and there's an expansion draft, but you can't bank on that. You can't assume that it's automatically going to be there. So you should plan better ahead of time. And also, because you're going to protect Montembeau in an expansion draft, I would presume, if you sign somebody like Varlamov, which is something I think the Panthers should be very interested in doing if they're not going to go after Bobrovsky, because Varlamov's not going to re-sign with the Avs.
Well, first of all, they'd have to get rid of that no schmucks policy.
Well, Varlamov's what? He's making 5.9 this year. He's not going to ask for much more of a raise, if at all, I would assume. I mean, he would want a long-term deal, but even if you gave him like
2.25 the first, and I agree. Like, there's a Varlamov, or there's, you know, maybe, hey, Jacob Markstrom.
See, wouldn't that be ironic?
Like, you know, and I wouldn't be against it, like, in a 2-3 year deal, you know. But then there's two hurdles you got to get through before you can get to there. And that's hurdle one is James Reimer. Hurdle two is Roberto Luongo. And one hurdle you can clear. The other hurdle, it seems that they're unwilling to clear. And how they respond to that, do they run three goalies? Do they just kind of IR, like, you know, Robitaille's Island, Luongo type of thing? Why don't they just make him, like, do they just make him a coach like they do with all these other guys? Like, what Derek do they do with him? You know, because it seems like they're going to let Luongo drive the bus. And if he wants to play, they're just going to let him play. Or, you know, that's at least what Florida wants you to believe they believe. Okay, so
here's what's going to happen with Reimer. We presume they're going to buy him out after they pay his bonus.
That's what I presumed until the George Richards article. I forget exactly which one, but I could probably find it if someone really wants me to.
I mean,
that said that that they do not plan on buying out Reimer, and that they would, like, if that's the case, he'll probably be here next year.
See, the thing is, you have to trade him. He can't be here next season.
Well, I mean, that's where all this doubt and worry from my end is. I mean, they have a good core, but, you know, they're a middle of the pack team now. They should have a good core. You know, every other team besides the handful of teams at the dregs of the NHL have a good core, but they need to build something off of it quickly. And how are they going to do that if they can't get themselves out of some contracts?
Number one.
And then the coaching coaching contracts. Well, you know, it's not re-upping Jack
Capuano.
Let's just call him Crapuano, because I'll say that more than his actual name correctly. I think his contract ends, so it's just not making the mistake of signing him again, which I think I'm confident they'll at least do that. But then it's, will they have the cojones to do the right thing and get rid of Bugner and just eat that contract?
Well,
or
let's start,
have the hard conversation with him and just be like, do you want to take over an assistant coaching spot or something? Like, you know, like, I don't know how they do it or what they're going to do, but they need a new head coach. He cannot be a head coach of an NHL team that's expected to make the playoffs and even expected to win a round, which the Panthers need to be next year.
Absolutely.
And that means maybe – and, like, if it means – if honestly, if you ask me if it means screwing over Samuel Montembeau, a player I liked, I wanted them to draft, I wanted him to be the goalie of the future. I still believe in him. I still believe that could be the outcome. But – where I think Florida is and where I am is, if you think you have a better goalie for the next 3 years than Samuel Montembeau, I don't care how long or how big of the contract is. You can figure that out later. And to me, it is okay to have a $10 million backup if Samuel Montembeau outplays him in 2 years. I
think
because
that's a very
I
good
would just,
proposition,
well,
but
because you have to be like the big teams. The teams that win Stanley Cups take big risks. Like, that's the point that they're at, because not taking risk is only making them a worse team year after year. This was a worse year. This was a worse year than last year. They
that's
need to be,
correct.
and they had their captain play hit, lights out. They had their second best player, Giroux, play lights out. They had their best. They had Yandle, the $7 million big UFA acquisition, in his 30s, play lights out. They had Ekblad play. Going through the numbers on the year, I mean, I think that there's still a lot of mistakes in his game, but I think that's encouraged by the coaching staff, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm going to
And
get to some coaching staff and defense things in a second, but let's focus on goalies right now. Reimer, you should be able to move 2 years, 3.4 million. Even if you have to give up something to get the contract off your books, you should be able to move that.
You buy him out. Like, you don't let him get to training camp.
He can't be on the team next year. Now, he's had a better season than Roberto Luongo, but that's not saying much because Luongo's been
Right,
really, really
and
bad
it's
this year.
different circumstances, and at the end of the day, there's more value in keeping Luongo, because you know, the fact that if you're putting your eggs in the Samuel Montembeau basket, and like, or say it's, I'm putting my eggs in the, let's use Montembeau for next year and draft a guy like Spencer Knight or some of these other goalies in the draft, and go out and sign an undrafted free agent from Europe goalie or something like that, who's 22 or something, to fill Montembeau's AHL spot. Like, let's go in on younger goalies. I'm fine with that, but you need Luongo there to mentor him, possibly much more so than Reimer. Like, you don't want Reimer to be there, because what's Reimer gonna show him? How to mishandle pucks? How to, you know, be
Montembeau
way
does
out of
handle the puck
position?
better than I thought he would. He plays the
I
puck
mean,
better.
and like, that's why you don't want a guy like Reimer there. Reimer has no mental fortitude, and I hate saying that about a player, but I mean, like, the biggest thing with him is, like, he just doesn't have the mental attitude of a goalie I want in on my team. Like, the way he handles himself in a press conference, the way he handles giving up bad goals in a game, like, all this stuff, like, it's not my cup of tea, and it's not who I want to be the guy that Montembeau, because when you're a goalie, it's, you spend a lot more time with the other goalie than with the whole team, especially in a practice, and what you're doing in the video rooms and stuff like that. So, you know, I'd rather him with Luongo, but if Luongo's there, he's going to be what, playing 20 games, 30 games at most. So you
If
got to have
playing at
him.
all. Now, let's
So
talk about some
that's a
things
whole
firstly
nother issue.
about Reimer. First of all, you hope that you can trade him. I think there are going to be enough teams like Ottawa who would need to get just money on the books and a
Yeah.
goalie, and Reimer might be able to do that. Now, listen, you might have to give up a draft pick or a lower down prospect to get the contract off your books, but that's what you got to do in order to free up the space that you need for goalies. Now, Luongo, he's going to be 40. His actual salary next year is 1.375 million. Now, if there's some sort of injury, in air quotes, again, the Panthers have found a way to, like, quote unquote, Roby the Island a couple of players. They did that with Willie Mitchell. They did it with Derek McKenzie. They kind of did it with Jamie McGinn. You know, like, if they wanted to and Luongo can't play anymore, the contract could be moved while Luongo could still be around the Panthers organization. He just couldn't officially retire. Or, in a way, you could LTIR that contract if there's a long-term enough injury where you just bury that and you essentially give yourself an extra little bit of cap space that you could use while the actual salary that you're paying is pittance. Even for the Panthers, it's a pittance. So I don't think the Luongo thing is as difficult to get rid of, but it is something where I worry that I don't think he could play next year
I
because
don't
he's
think it's
been so, he has not been good this year. And
I
I
don't
love
think it's
Luongo, but there's just no way that you can have him as a goalie next year playing any number of games because you're relying on something that probably can't happen again. His stretch at the end of last season was wonderful, but that's probably what he's the last little hurrah if you watch him play this year. He's been one of the worst goalies this year in the league if you look at some of those expected goals numbers, and you just can't expect that to be much better next season.
And it might be in a small amount of games if it keeps him healthier. But again, if you look at his career numbers, he's always done better when he's faced more shots, more minutes, and taking the lion's share of the role. So, like, can he at 40 learn a new trick, so to speak, or new role in being that third goalie and like handle a game every couple weeks, or just only playing back like the second half of back-to-back games? Like, if that's all he did, playing 8 to 10 to 12 back-to-back games in the whole season, could he do that at a level that would allow him to not cripple the, like, not give up too many points? Could he actually live with that and be a productive member of the
Well, here's the
team?
thing with the Panthers and Luongo is they're in a position where they're kind of having to listen to whatever he wants to do. If he wants to play, they kind of have to honor that. They can't kind of force him into
I
retirement.
don't I think they can. I mean, like, well, I don't think it's forcing him into retirement. I mean, I think for the Panthers, the best thing they can do is, if you look at when he retires, the cap recapture penalty that comes to Vancouver and Florida is really going to hit Vancouver. It's like 1 point something million if he retires this offseason for Florida, but it's like 900 something thousand for, a couple 2 years less if he retires next off season.
That's
So
why I'm saying you could
the
LTIR in and have him
yeah,
not actually
and
retire,
but
but retire.
that's not the difficult part. The difficult part is more so, okay, well then who's that third goalie, and how do you run a roster with three goalies? Because that takes a defenseman or a forward off the
You can't
map.
run a roster with three goalies the entire
So
time. You
then you
can't.
have Montembeault going up and down because he would be the only one that can slide up and down. So how do you do that is what I'm saying. Like,
You don't. The options are you get rid of both or you hamstring yourself by not getting rid of one. And that's what the Panthers have to do. They have to, honestly, if they want to be where they need to be next season, and this is no slight on James Reimer or Roberto Luongo, the people, both of them cannot be playing next year for the Panthers. There is no, you can't have one and not the other. They both have to go. It's the most ideal scenario for the Panthers from a hockey perspective. Because Reimer, I understood why they gave out that contract. When the people who gave out that contract did, it hasn't worked. And sometimes you have
so
to admit your mistakes and move on. And the Panthers need to do that with Reimer because he's not a starter. He might be a backup, but you have to move that. There will be teams in the league this year that will be able to take on that contract and can use it. Maybe New Jersey or something like that. You have to be able to find an opportunity available to do that for the betterment of your team. And you have to do the same with Luongo, whether it's LTIRing the contract, whether it's trading it as an asset to somebody so they can make the cap floor and giving up assets to do that, which is something that they could do. They have to if they have to. But that's the thing I think for the Panthers is it's like, how can you be able to solve this situation with goalies because you didn't do it this year and it's cost you because your goaltending has
Yeah.
been really, really bad. And I thought they were going to get away with it more. But Luongo's play has really sharply dropped, and Reimer hasn't always been good. So, you know.
And that's Talon's mistake. That's ownership's mistake too. I mean, that's a lot of people's mistake, but that's probably the fourth or fifth thing that I think is a mistake that would cost someone their job that hasn't cost Talon his job over the, what, 10 years he's had a
Well,
blueprint in
there's a lot of
place.
things that's happening with Dale Talon that we could
I
get
mean, but
into.
I guess I would say it has cost him his job. He's
Well, it
just
did
gotten
cost
it
him his
back.
job, and then he got it back because the Panthers couldn't hire anybody else to do his job because they bungled it so badly the first time. So
But
let's say for goalies,
if we
if hold on, let's say Montembeault is good enough this year to prove that he could be an
he's
NHL
not.
backup next year.
Well, I mean, he's an NHL backup. Yeah, I think he's already proven it. I think, like, he's. Here's the thing. What he will gain over the last, let's say, six games he plays, let's just pretend it's six or seven.
Yeah, they got
It's not
nine
gonna be
left, so
much.
that's
It's
fine.
not it, yeah, like games. The only, like, you and I, fans, will not be able to know the difference. We can't make any judgments over the difference. The only value is on Montembeault feeling more comfortable in the paint, and the team feeling more comfortable with Montembeault on the ice. That's really it. But Florida kind of knows what they like, what kind of goalie he is at this stage, what he really needs to work on in the off season, and where he needs to be, to to be more than what he's already shown. I think he's already shown he can play 30 games in the NHL next year. As far as I'm concerned, he showed it, you know, just with his lateral movement, with his ability to come up and make
really well. He has and, really great movement for somebody that, I mean, let's be honest, most Panthers goalies, I mean, Luongo plays butterfly and he's older, and Reimer certainly doesn't do that, but he moves post to post really well. I think that's one. That and his puck movement have been the most impressive things to me.
He's not. I don't think he's going to be a star of a goalie.
I have been told that. But he's somebody who would know. By the way, that would be Brock McGillis, who is not only one of my favorite people I've ever met in the sport of hockey and a great LGBTQ plus advocate, but also a former professional goalie. And so when he tells you something about a goalie, he listens. Now, he doesn't think he's going to be a star, but whether that means he can be a serviceable NHL goalie is up for debate. And for next year, he needs to be a serviceable NHL backup. And I think he can be based on the evidence that we have seen. And he definitely has the skills. He doesn't have great rebound control at this point. I think that's an issue.
It's better than Reimer's, though. Well, that's true. And that's
rebound control is a major problem, but his rebound control still needs to be worked on. I still think there's going to be times when he needs to be able to help, you know, marshal the defense in front of him a little bit better. But I think mostly he's been more than I thought he was going to be, and there are the things like the movement from post to post.
You have to be able to decide, and you know, like right now, it's great. They know he's going to be NHL backup, but what they really needed to do this year, and what I said that they needed to do in the training camp, was decide if he was going to be a starter by the end of this year, and they didn't do that. They completely wasted their opportunity to do that. I said they needed to decide whether. They needed to give Borgstrom a full season as a third-line center this year so he's ready to be one of the best third-line centers in the league next year. Did they do that? No. He's barely played a handful of games in a good spot in the lineup in the NHL this season.
We'll get to Borgstrom in a second. I want to finish up the goalie thoughts just for a second. So if Montembeault is an NHL-quality backup, which we have both suggested that he is, and I tend to think the Panthers are starting to think now that he is, you don't need to sign Bobrovsky.
Why not? I think you have to definitely investigate it, and I think you have to.
They'll investigate it, but I think I would.
Who's the starter? You have to have it.
Varlamov would be. And the reason why I'm
saying. Well, what if you don't get Varlamov? What if it's July 1st and you don't get Varlamov, and then you've already not done. And, like, then what? Then you. Like I think Florida can't go into July 1st not knowing. We're waiting for free agency July 1st to know who their starting goalie is. I think they need to get it.
Either Bobrovsky or Varlamov and, if they really wanted to be safe.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think there's two things Florida has to get done going into before July 1st, and that is have their starting goalie for next year on the wall, written on the wall, and their head coach for next year written on the wall. And if it's not an improvement over Sam Montembeault right now and Bob Bugner right now, it's going to be a long year again for this club because it's every year that they go backwards. They now have to take more steps in the offseason to just tread water and stay and go where they're supposed to be.
So would because, you be like, okay next year?
Like you started – hold on real quick. You started the podcast saying like, you know, the expectations for next year – are not going to be lowered. They need to win a series. They need to keep Barkov interested in this franchise because we're already halfway through that steal of a contract and we have nothing to show for it. Nothing. This was an absolute failure of a season, embarrassingly so. And it cannot be lost that, you know, the spring has trickled away and they're still almost double digit points away from a playoff spot. And they have a top five power play unit. They have so many guys breaking records, all this and no headway. So they really have to get it sorted this offseason and get it sorted before free agency, because if they're relying on 30-year-old guys on big contracts with big money to get the job done, they're screwed. They've already lost the plot at that point.
So here's where I'm going to ask one final question about goalies, then we'll move on to other players. If next year your battery is Varlamov, in a hypothetical, and Montembeault, let's say Varlamov is making a tiny bit more than he's making now, and Montembeault, the contract's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, it's going to be like one...
It might not even make a million. Let's say it's $925,000. You'd still be paying less to your goalies... Yeah. in 2019-20 than you were in 18-19, and you'd have a better
Depends
battery.
on how many days you can get Luongo on insurance. Depends on what the deal with Reimer is. But yeah, you're most likely saving money, but you're still overspending,
Well, of
which will
course,
be.
but I mean, let's be
But it's
honest.
yeah,
I
that's
think the
to me
ideal
is the
is.
bottom line of what their goaltending situation. Like Varlamov Montembeau is like base level. Like that is,
That would be good
but that's
enough to
plan
get them to
C to
where
me.
they need to be. Now,
That's
here's.
well. If they do the other stuff, you
Yes.
know, like that's not going to be enough to counteract Bob Bugner being his dumb ass for another year. That's not going to counteract the fact that like Josh Brown might actually be in the top six next year. Like, oh, like if that happens,
Do you
like
want to focus
it's
on defense or forwards? For
let's
sake of
focus
it.
on forwards because that'll be a lot quicker. Because
Yes.
like you know,
So.
they're gonna they're if. First, let's say this. If they have to run three goalies because they refuse to make up an injury for Luongo or whatever it is, so at some times, like for like a week or two in between Luongo injuries, they're gonna have three goalies. They're gonna limit themselves a forward spot because it's probably not gonna be a D spot. They're gonna limit themselves a forward spot. If they do re-sign Brower, Sheehan, you know, I
Lord
mean.
willing, they do not,
McGinn,
because they're all
McGinn's look,
bad.
Jamie McGinn's looked better than any grinder this team's had this whole season. So you're wondering, like, oh crap, they might sign McGinn too. You know, like if
Thankfully,
they
he's
sign all
cooled off
that,
recently.
then they have. That's the only issue with the forwards is will their never-ending need to constantly bring back the same shitty bottom six forwards and old guys and slow guys who they keep saying they don't want and they need to get away from, and that will help them win games. They keep bringing those guys and those types of guys back. Will the forwards that they've drafted, that whether you agree with them or not, are at the top of most media scouts' lists as. You know, they have three in the top 20 best prospects, all wingers. If they can't transition those wingers, just like they haven't been able to transition Borgstrom, people laughed at me when I said that, you know, they're like, oh, no, not Borgstrom. He, like, maybe, yeah, Dennis Malgin, that makes sense. Or Jared McCann, it makes sense why he gets the yo-yo and yanked up and down, but not Henrik Borgstrom. Yeah, it's already happened to Tippett. It's going to happen to him again next year
Didn't I
at this
say at the
rate.
start of the season that Borgstrom not being on the main roster was a travesty? And then it had to get so bad to the point where they couldn't do anything else other than call him up. And he's played pretty well this season, in
He's
spite of the
been
fact that he's had no minutes with good players.
and he's been fantastic defensively. I
He's
think
been
he's
much
been
better defensively than I could have
he's
ever imagined him being.
and you know, it's a bummer. It really is because you know, you look at what this forward group could be. You could have the nastiest top nine in the league next year. And still have a pretty versatile. I mean, like Colin Seaver is still here for two more years. Like, why do we need to bring in Riley Sheehan? Like, just because he wins faceoffs, like you can't go and get a like
Anybody?
$750,000 a year. Like, I mean, maybe Riley Sheehan's gonna be the $750,000, but I mean, he makes way too much money right now to be the guy
I mean,
who's gonna
I said that
sign
if you were going to
back.
bring him back as an extra forward and he was making $1 million or less, you
But
could get
they,
away with it, but you still
right.
shouldn't do it.
But and yeah, like you have 14 forward spots on an NHL roster. Let's say they have 13 because they might need to leave one spot for Luongo to go on and off IR to make it look legit and to, you know, keep him happy because he might not be willing to do what Derek McKenzie and others have done. He's seen it before. He might not be willing to do it. So you got 13 spots. Top nine. So nine out of the 13 spots need to be skilled. That means you got four other spots. If it's Sheehan, Brower, Sevier, then you only got one other spot for like a Hauerluck, which is, you know, that's great and everything, but Hauerluck's supposed to make these Sheehans, these, you know, these McGinns not needed.
Expendable. Well, let's.
And he has. I mean,
He
I think he's been
absolutely
one of the
has.
brightest spots of the last couple weeks has been Hauerluck's ability to be like, all right, Yes, he might not be a top six NHL player. He might not be as good as we once thought when he was drafted. But this isn't like Quentin Howden. This isn't, you
He
know,
goes out and he
Mike
tries
Craft.
to, he goes out with a fire in his rear end and just plays.
This is a guy, I think,
He's in
who
many ways
to
a
me,
modern bottom six NHL forward and ones you need to win.
I think he's a Zach Hyman type. And you know that a guy who can play in the
Who was
top,
once drafted by the Panthers, of course.
right? And you know this
Now, they
is
did draft him because they wanted his father to invest in the team, but.
he turned out it turned out to be that's not the only reason he could have been drafted. So
This is
that's
true.
so I'll give it up to him. And you know like the he's a useful, serviceable person. He's supposed to replace these guys, but if they keep bringing him back. That's really the only thing I
Well,
worry
and you
about
hear
off.
broadcasts like, can the Panthers get depth scoring? And you're like, well, no, because Troy Brower is getting more ice time than Henrik Borgstrom is.
Right.
And Colton Sevier is,
Because
well, not,
Jamie
maybe not
McGinn's on the
necessarily
second
Sevier.
fucking power play unit. And I mean,
Yeah,
you know.
Jamie McGinn's on the second power play unit, which is obscene. But
But
like,
they're going to
let's
bring the
talk
coach
about
back.
this. Let's talk about this in terms of forward. So let's see. Let's go next year. We assume that they're still going to go after Panarin. I assume they're going to still go after Panarin,
Right.
and they definitely should. Now, the other question that has been going around the Panthers verse a little
More
bit
so
is,
than Bobrovsky, yes.
yes, they should add, oh, Panarin way more than Bobrovsky. The other question that goes along with that is about trading Hoffman, and people have not really figured out why you'd trade Hoffman in this scenario.
People get very defensive because they, and I like to call it the Florida syndrome. They finally have something that they think is really nice and they think is the shiny thing that they've been asking for all the time. But they don't realize it's actually just Alexander Barkov and they've had him the whole time. But it's like, you know, Mike Hoffman will never ever get another player like Mike Hoffman. And they're making Mike Hoffman out to be a Mike Bossy when he's really more just a James Neal. I mean,
Mike Hoffman's had an incredibly good season, but this is his career best. And he
yeah, I
is,
mean,
I believe,
Alex
going to be
Chyzin's,
31 next season.
yeah, I mean, like Frank Vetrano is not too far behind him.
And he's making $3 million
And imagine if
right
Frank
now.
and just imagine if Frank Vetrano in that shot was set up in that power play spot and he was getting the service from Keith Yandel and Alexander Barkov and Jonathan Huberdeau in their career best years.
And
So,
Evgeny Dadonov, too.
right, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to slight anybody, but you got the three best playmakers of the Panthers having their best power play years in
Ever.
their career, all feet, and the power play is basically just pass it to this guy to take one-timers. And Mike Hoffman has a great shot, but it's not like Frank Vetrano doesn't, and he wouldn't have, and he's not having the
Vincent
same shooting
Trocheck
luck.
has a decent shot too, and he's now on second power play unit.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, I think Hoffman's very good, and if you can get him locked into a short term, it's more just
It's
what
the
does Florida
contract and
want to
the
do with him?
AAV. It's more the
It's,
contract and the
but
AAV that worries us,
if,
not so much the
and
player.
if you could trust Florida to not. To just walk away from him, we wouldn't even need this conversation because the best thing you could do is have Mike Hoffman for the playoffs next year, and you just ride him and you know trade him for a couple trade his rights for a couple draft picks at next year's draft, and recoup on what you paid to get him, and just be really happy you got you know 70 goals from Mike Hoffman in 2 years, and you know not pay that next deal because you'll have Panarin, you'll have Denisenko, you'll have Tippett, you'll
Tippett,
have
yeah.
Bjorkstrand, you'll have Hepponiemi, you have Sarah Noel, you have a decent amount of guys, and if Mike Hoffman was younger, if he scored 30 goals before this year, if he was more defensive. If I thought he didn't have the Vincent Trocheck syndrome, where he needs to do it a little bit himself to be right, to be hot, to
How
get
many
going.
goals does he have at even strength this year? I think it's like 11 or 12.
Right,
It's
and
not a
that's
lot.
I don't want to knock him for it. I mean, it's just
No. That's not what he's
he,
there for,
yeah,
obviously.
and it's just like. All right, let's dial it back. Just in the same way Keith Yandel isn't the number one left-handed defenseman for the Panthers and that the Panthers need, Mike Hoffman's not the big goal scorer the Panthers need either. That goal scorer is, I mean, Barkov's not far behind Hoffman, and he's doing
Got
it with
31
way
goals
less.
and Hoffman's got 33.
way less shots, way less, he's standing in front of the net on the power play.
And he's not even necessarily, eating on the power play. He's doing things 5-on-5 too. And
So it's with Mike Hoffman, you have the chance to bring in the type of defenseman that we all thought Mike Mathieson could be, or that Florida thought they could turn Mike Mathieson into when they realized that he wasn't going to be the first thing. They all thought he was going to be Yandle, and then they just realized he just was never going to put up the points at the NHL level. So they tried to turn him into a shutdown D, and it's just gone horribly. And I hate saying this, I think he's a really nice guy and everything, but that contract is,
it's
if
bad.
you can get out of it this offseason, you have to. And I think for Mike
Hey,
Mathieson,
Oilers, would you like a good puck-moving defenseman that's better than what
right,
you have? And would you like to trade Jesse Puljujärvi for that?
and
Could you
like
imagine the reaction if that happened?
Edmonton would love a contract like that because he wouldn't be able to
Get
say
out of
no
it.
to it. And he's signed long term, and he's a great skater. And you know what? That would be great for his career. And I think the best thing for Mathieson for his career is to leave Florida. I just they kind of stunted him to the point where I think,
He leads the league this season, and some of it's coaching, but some of it is him forcing it. He leads the league in what the hell are you doing moments this
right.
year.
And if Bugner really is going to be back next year, I mean, like they've just kept him at all. They've been throwing minutes after minutes after minutes at him, giving him all the opportunities
At this
and
point, you got
time
to be honest. You'd
to
rather
skate
Vince
himself out
Wheeler
of
up
it.
there at this point.
I mean, he's like, that's the problem with the Florida Panthers defense. They just have no one. Like they have their power play specialist and their high offense, high risk defender in Keith Yandle. They have their number one right-handed defenseman in Aaron Ekblad, who I think is more, who needs to be supplanted. I think he's more of like a Shea Weber to Ryan Sutter. And to get the best out of him, you need to have somebody to do the things he can't. He's not, Shea Weber and Ryan Sutter are very good, but they're the type of defenders that need that strong pairing to really be the game breakers, the guys without faults. I'm okay living with Ekblad's faults and everything, but
I
I know
think
a
he's
lot of
had a very
fans
decent season,
aren't.
all things
I
considered
think he's
this year.
had better than a decent season. I don't want to, like I think he's had a very good season, but I think, the issue with Aaron Ekblad is not anything that has to do with Aaron Ekblad, other than I think he needs to skate more in the off season and just be a better become a better skater. I mean, I think that's just on him to get stronger ankles, but like he's not going to be the same type of player that everyone thought he was going to be when drafted. He can maybe be the number one D on a team, but he's not going to be a Victor Hedman type number one defenseman. He's not going to be this do everything puck rusher, headsy guy. He's going to be a Shea Weber type of defenseman, guy who can score a lot of goals, hits heavy, stands up at the blue line, denies zone entries.
And can move the puck.
He moves the puck. I mean, he makes good passes. He sees the ice well. He's a good leader. You need a guy like him to win a lot of playoff series. And there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with his contract, but Florida needs a top end defenseman to go with him, and they need a bunch of other defensemen to make it all go.
Okay.
I think, like you have McCaution, who I think you've pretty much just ruined. You have
Yeah.
Josh Brown, who sucks. You have Weegar, who's pretty much a budget Keith Yandle, which is great to have, but it's not really solving any issues at the
He's
moment.
been good, and
Riley
people.
Stillman and Thomas Shemtich are solid, but again, probably rate out as third pairing guys. They don't have any top four guys other than Yandle and Ekblad, and these are guys who don't have their yin and yangs figured out. They don't have their balances. So you're not getting the best out of them.
So let's
It's a quick
focus on,
turnaround. It's a
yeah.
quick turnaround. If you can get, if, I mean, it's not easy to get those to get two defensemen of that or three
This is
defensemen of this
why we were
ability,
talking about
but
trading Hoffman, because if you traded him now with a year left on his contract, then his cap hit's like 5.1.
Yeah, and if you could get a
Every
guy
single
like.
team in the NHL, you could trade a player to, and they could take that contract on. We thought Nashville, right? What about the Predators? And we thought Dante Fabro, if he whatever he signs with there. That's the kind of young defenseman that the Panthers need in the system to be another one of those
I
guys.
wouldn't be afraid to even go for someone, like Hampus Lindholm or,
Yeah.
someone further
Like what
down.
team what like what teams in the NHL have a surplus of defensemen that you could go out and acquire if you traded Mike Hoffman for said that and a pick? Like what teams could you go to?
Dallas, Calgary, Anaheim are the three teams I call right away.
Flyers?
I mean, I would call the Flyers, but I feel like those types of trades are always easier cross conference.
Yeah, but I mean, Dallas has got some good
But
defensemen.
like, I don't know if the Flyers would give.
Philippe Myers,
Well, I
guy.
mean, they need a. If I'm being honest, the Panthers need a left-handed defenseman
So
back.
if you're going to say, if you are
I mean,
going to be given the
the
option to
Flyers
trade,
have tons of left-handers, but will they give Travis Sanheim up
well,
for
yeah,
Paul?
like that would be gold.
Like I don't want Sagan Gatisbehere, although and that's the problem with trading with the Flyers. So that's is like you'll have oh we could have got Sagan Gatisbehere or something like that. It's like
No,
well
they'll get him
that's
for
not
the
really
because
what's
he's from, Plantation, which is, but anyway, if you had the
is he
chance to
though?
trade for a young defenseman for Mike Hoffman, what defenseman would you be saying, like, this is exactly what the Panthers need to give people an idea of what we're going after? Because we could say, trade Mike Hoffman, but what defenseman do you think is that kind of guy? Conference be damned for this argument.
For visual effects, just to understand the type of D I'm looking for, Esa Lindell. He was a thorn in Florida's side when they
Well, the
just played
Panthers
in
just
town.
couldn't play against the Stars this year. He
Right,
looked awful in those two games, but
but I mean I'm a big fan of Esa Lindell outside of those two games. He understands what his role is. He puts up enough points. If you don't think he's offensive, he's I think top 50 in defenseman scoring. He puts up enough points. He can make good long passes, but he makes smart, simple passes on the breakout. He's the type of guy who's not a puck rusher. The Florida Panthers have enough D who are puck rushers, guys who hold on to the puck and skate all over. And I think, while Travis Sanheim would be nice, Travis Sanheim kind of falls into this too. They need a puck mover. Guys who take three steps and make a hard pass and get the puck into the wingers and the forwards' hands. If the Panthers do have this top six, like where they get Hoffman and they maybe or they get Panarin and Denisenko or Tippett hit or Hepponiemi hit and they have this crazy top six, why would you want the puck in the hand of a defenseman more than it has to be? Like you pay these guys millions of dollars to create offense. Give them the puck and let them go. Yes, support them. Yes, jump in from the blue line and cycle down low to keep the pucks alive. And
And
yes.
here are some numbers on Esa Lindell, just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Now his Corsi-Rel is -5, but he's starting 42% of his shifts in the offensive zone. So he is a guy that absorbs a lot of the pressure. He was on that pairing with, I can't remember who it was. I think he was on a pairing with Roman Pulak, so I mean it's not exactly, great.
Right.
But I mean he would be, I guess, somebody if you could get Dallas to move
And
him. They need scoring, so they would trade for Hoffman, I guess.
Brett Pesce from
Oh, yeah,
Carolina.
they got too many D.
Hampus Lindholm, I've already said. A really young guy from Calgary, Rasmus Anderson.
Are they allowed to go after Swedish players?
I mean, I think they need to. I think they definitely need some more Swedes in the lineup. And Swedes on defense are not the worst way to go. So
No.
if you have to add Swedes, Finns in the front, Swedes in the back, and then what? Let's get Russians all over.
I guess. But I mean, like, that's what we're saying. If you could trade Mike Hoffman for somebody like that and you're able to sign Panarin,
Yeah,
your team's better.
this is the defender that you're trading Hoffman for what you think is a guy who can play 22 minutes a night on the back end
With Aaron Ekblad or
with
Keith
Aaron
Yandel.
Ekblad and make it so Aaron Ekblad isn't chasing guys corner to corner, falling on his ass left alone because Mike Matheson sucks and Keith Yandle sucks in their own zone. This is someone that's going to do the heavy lifting in the zone so he doesn't have to.
Yep.
And this is going to allow him to be the type of defenseman he
This is
was
what would make Aaron Ekblad and Keith Yandle better. Like those defensemen who are going to allow them to say, you can go out and do whatever you want because you got somebody at home who's
going
to pick up those mistakes for you.
Imagine if Ekblad didn't have to make that many turnovers because his partner wasn't getting in trouble and throwing him a hot potato in the corner.
And or
There's a lot of times where Ekblad will win a battle against one or two guys, get the puck to his defender to go out the other end. That defender, Matheson, will just skate himself into trouble, loop back, and just dump the puck back to Ekblad. And Ekblad will just be like, well, come on, man. Like, you know, and then Ekblad will have to, you know, escape his trouble and try to do something with it. But, you know, it was funny because I think it was on that Dallas broadcast where Dallas basically said that in the Florida D zone, everyone basically just passed the buck. Like, the only way they know how to get out of trouble is just throw the puck to the nearest person or to a teammate or an area and just let the trouble go there. And at least they don't have it. And, you know, that's so true.
Well,
You need to get defenders who are comfortable without the puck, who when the other team has the puck, they feel calm. They know what to do. They feel confident in their abilities to get it back without running around, without making unnecessary jumps, without cheating to get out of the defensive zone. Where
How
Florida
many times
has
this
to
season?
Cheat to get out, to even get out of the zone, Florida has to cheat and panic and like go into full desperation mode just to clear the zone.
How many times this year have you seen shifts, and even the broadcasts are starting to talk about it now, like Goldie and Potvin are starting to talk about how many times when the puck should be out of the zone first time, but it's not, and it's second and third time, and the puck does not leave the defensive zone, and they kill themselves doing that. How many times does that happen? It happens three times every game, and that is absolutely 100% coaching. That is a systemic problem with the defenseman, and it's not as if like Aaron Ekblad can't do that if he wasn't told to not to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing is, when you have defensemen who know what they're doing in the D zone, you're less reliant on coaching because it's not just listening to what Capuano is telling you to do. It's, no, I know what to do. Like, you know, I'm good at clearing the zone. I'm going to get the puck. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to take what the defense gives it to me. I'm going to take a step up ice and I'm going to make a pass on the tape and get out of the zone. I'm not going to skate myself into trouble. I'm not going to play back and forth with you know, my D. I'm going to get the puck, I'm going to cut up ice, and I'm going to get it out of the zone. And it's not high and off the glass, and it's not just throwing it. It's, you know, putting it, it's putting it into where the wingers can do something with it. Because, you know, if you look at this team, the one thing they do have are forwards who are good at zone entries, forwards who are good at taking the puck through the neutral zone and getting it there. And getting it into the zone. Because even if we're talking about the Grinders, you know, Jamie McGinn, you know, I don't like him that much, but he can catch a pass and dump the puck in. And if you can get it to, if you can put a puck, you know, around his stick, he can catch it, relieve the pressure, and get it down the other end. And that's all you really need. And it doesn't take you, the lucky thing for the Panthers is it's not going to take going Bobrovsky levels UFA or Panarin levels UFA to fix the issue. They're not going to have to spend $10 million over 8 years to fix the issue. It's going to take $5, $6 million put into the right type of defenseman or a few of the right type of defensemen, I should say, to fix the issue. Because unfortunately, a lot of defensemen are underpaid, and the ones that are high paid are the type that Florida already has, the offensive ones, the ones that, you know, aren't that great in the defensive zone. Finding the guys who are just really fine with getting the puck and moving it to their D partner, moving it out and, you know, playing underneath the puck and just being smart and simple. They're the guys that are paid like $2 million for 3 years.
So in terms of, let's say,
$4 million.
Yeah, in terms of like UFA D, like I think trade is a much better way to get the D that you need, and they could clearly do that if they wanted to. If you're looking at the cap friendly page,
Anton
Terminator.
Strawman is the
Yeah.
really the only name that jumps out at you.
And I mean, like,
And
would
that's
he
a
come
great
close?
example. I mean, he like basically
If you
you
paid him
would
5 million for 3 years, would he come to Florida? I
I
think he
mean, I think
would.
he would if Tampa's not an option. I don't think he'd pick Florida over Tampa,
No, I don't think
obviously.
anybody's picking Florida
But
or Tampa, but the
I mean, I
Lightning are
think
cap hell. You have to say
given
that.
yeah, given his age and where he is at with his career and everything, I think he might just want to move a couple hours east, you know, rather than
I mean,
uproot
I'm just looking
himself and
at the
go somewhere
defense
else.
avail options out there, and
Yeah,
they
it's
all
not going to be
stink.
UFA. I mean, and you know, you could get you can get this defenseman a few different ways. I mean,
Obviously,
there's
pure
guys
free
out
agents.
there that you can get, especially with a guy like Matheson and a prospect or Mike Hoffman. You can go get these defense. I mean, like really, would Oscar Klefbom from Edmonton be that bad? I think he would be someone who would get the job done
What do
and
you think the
who.
Edmonton media would think of a Klefbom for Matheson trade?
I mean, and if you swap Puljujarvi and like,
Well, I mean, as I said, if you could get Matheson and for Puljujärvi, it'll
I mean, I would Klefbom. I mean, if we're gonna just do armchair GM stuff, I mean, Puljujarvi and Klefbom for Matheson and Hoffman. I'm fine with that. You can even it out with picks or
I
however you
mean, there
want.
would everybody watching that trade would go, "Oh, the Oilers got a lot," and then you and I would be sitting here going, "You know what? The Panthers actually did pretty well here."
Yeah, I mean, it's the
Although,
Panthers
imagine how many
have.
goals Hoffman would score on McDavid's wing.
Yeah, I
I mean,
mean,
it
the
would
one.
look good for the Panthers just from that basic perspective, but we would know that it would actually end up turning out pretty well because the Panthers would then have money to sign Panarin. And by the way, can I mention that? For all that it's worth, because I still hear the Marchessault and Riley Smith crap when you talk about Vegas, even though they're not the best forwards on that team anymore, you know, the Panthers still ended up getting rid of those two, got Hoffman and Dadonov, and are paying less for Hoffman and Dadonov, and are getting more production out of them. So.
And that's another reason to be okay with trading Hoffman. I mean, finding somebody that you can turn into a one-off, two-off, 30-goal scorer, you know, like a just like I don't want to say Jonathan
So hard.
Chychrun. I don't want to say a Jonathan Chychrun type like deal, but you know, there's a lot of guys that are good enough hockey players that if you do your homework and you find out, all right, this is a guy who plays really good with this center. You know, with this type of center, let's do it. Let's milk his minutes and let's get the most out of this small UFA deal we can do with him. You know, that seems to be happening a lot more and more. It's a lot harder to, especially in Florida's case, to find this defenseman that they've rebuilt their defense three, four times and have held on to this stupid idea that their D can just hold on to the puck, create all the offense from the back end, not get burned, not have any chemistry with their
Well, they
partners
built their offense. When
whatsoever.
you watch, okay, let's talk about watching the Panthers via watching, let's say, Toronto, because this is the most stark
Any.
example of it. But it's almost any
Well, I
team.
mean, well, I would actually say that Florida is actually trying to build their defense like Toronto, and that's the problem.
They're just not coached well enough
Well,
to.
no, I mean, I think the D Toronto has right now is the issue, and I think that's why it's Toronto's going to be
More
much
young.
better once they get like Erasmus Sandin and some of the better D that they have in their system coming through because they
Liljegren?
have their Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardners, aka their Ekblad and Yandles.
Well, Gardner's
But
gonna leave, but regardless of
yeah,
that.
but you know, they have that part down, but they have no defenseman that's really, I mean, other than Muzzin, but that's the thing with mid-season trades, and that's why you have to do it in the offseason. Why I push so much for it in the off season is mid-season trades. It's flipping a coin that it he the chemistry and the feeling and like the desire and the comfortability is even going to be there for performance in the regular season. I mean, I think Muzzin maybe turns it around in the playoffs, and the guys usually do better in the playoffs in the regular season. But I mean, other than Muzzin, they don't really have anyone that's comfortable in the D zone on the back end. I don't mind. I'm trying to think of his name. It's like Olag, some not Zaitsev, but the other D they sign. But they
He's
don't
getting
like
up.
playing him. They don't like playing him that much.
What about, like, okay, If you were able
But
to get one of the Leafs like Callie Rosens or somebody like that,
he'd be fine. I mean, I'd be.
even as just like a third pair guy, would you be okay with getting? I mean, it wouldn't be your number one D acquisition, but would you be okay with something like that happening? Because I think that, you know what, if you're going to
Possibly. I
try to
mean,
find
he's
like
better,
budget
but I mean,
options.
like, Toronto has better D. I mean,
Well, yeah, but they're not trading
what's his
Sandin or
name?
Liljegren, so it's irrelevant.
I mean,
If you give
if
them
you give
Hoffman,
him what they
maybe
want.
they think about it, but they don't need any more offense. That's not their issue.
What if you take some? I mean, if you're gonna have a slow grinder make 3 million like Jamie McGinn in your bottom six, why not have Patrick Marleau and take Patrick
Well,
Marleau?
I
You know
mean,
what I mean? Like, this is like Florida kind of just has to figure out what they're willing to do to right the wrongs, and it's like, and that means what, how, like what they're willing to do to eat Bob Bugner's contract and go out and pay an actual NHL coach, because you can't fire Bob Bugner and then go hire a first-time NHL coach for $950,000 or $1.1 million
this
who
is
doesn't
why
know
I
what the fuck he's
asked.
doing,
This is
you
why I
know,
asked
like.
George a couple of weeks ago when I had George Richards on, like, are they going to pay for a coach like that? And he
They're
said
not.
yes, and I was shocked
I mean,
because
like,
there's no
then.
evidence in their history to suggest that they will.
So then you got to. So you know, they gotta have to balance all this. So if you're maybe if you're if they're actually gonna go do that, then they're not gonna be taking a contract like Patty Marleau back, because they're already extending their dollars with the coaches, with the possibly Panarin, with whatever. But they kind of have to set it all up with where they're willing to put the money. But in my estimation, the biggest thing they need to do, get rid of the coach, get a starter, and I don't think getting a starter means spending a Bobrovsky money. I think you can get a good starter,
Like
and
Varlamov.
I mean, I think he, like, there's a Russian who's in the draft this year who's turning 21,
Yeah, but the
who's
thing is,
breaking
and you
KHL
know as
records.
well as I know, as much as he'd be good, you can't
Goalies.
rely on somebody like that to be a starter in the NHL. That's just
But
not going to
that's,
work.
but you don't, like, that's the thing. You don't need the fucking best starter. You just need competent goaltending if they go out and get and actually do redo their defense. If they get a new coach, if they
This is
get
all true.
Panarin, and then if they decide we're actually going to play our prospects, then they don't need to go out and get, like, pay $6 million to get some vet goalie who may or may not be, like, we know that Montembeau is good enough. Like, I don't, there's not, I'm more likely to believe that Montembeau will be as good as Varlamov than I'm going to believe that Varlamov is so much better than, you know, some undrafted European goalie that if the not the Flyers, holy shit,
Well, the
if the
Flyers have their
Panthers,
goalie sorted.
yeah, if the Panthers, you know, Euro scouts, like, if Kekalainen says, yeah, let's go get this goalie, I know this goalie. Like, I would trust that. Like,
I
just
would
go for
trust
that,
that too.
because you can build the defense. I mean, I think what the Panthers are showing right now is with, I mean, Montembeau is not doing that much better than you know what they've gotten from goalies in the past couple 2 years already, and like the team's defense has already improved a lot. Like, I think he's showing that they don't really, like, the biggest thing is fixing the defense and fixing the coaching, because the defense is product of the coaching.
Yes.
That
And I know that
when
people
they
have said
fired.
earlier, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I know that we dunked on one of those takes earlier this year that said the biggest problem with this team is goaltending. And I'm like, it doesn't matter how good the goaltending is, the team in front of him is still so bad that you're still going to give up four a night. And that was Montembeau. Like, Montembeau played well enough to win that game on Tuesday, but the Panthers' D was so awful that he had no chance, right? You
Yeah.
never felt in that game that there was an opportunity that they were going to win.
I
Because the D
mean,
was so bad, and that's a
yes,
coaching thing, and that is the most important thing
if
about
they
the
had
Panthers getting picked.
Montembeau, if they had Montembeau from Luongo's first injury, yeah, they're probably the wild card 2 seed, and they probably get destroyed in the first round, and who cares? But, like, you know, the biggest issue is defense. The biggest issue is coaching. When they
If you've
fired
got a team.
Town the first time around, when they redid the defense, when they brought in Yandle, and they said, we want to score from the back end, we want to run the defense through, or the offense through our defense, we want the defense to bring the puck up the ice, we want, it
Yeah.
hasn't worked. and they haven't fixed it. They haven't tried going anything else. We right now are like, they brought in Bogdan Kiselevich, who was frankly good enough to get the job done, was good enough to be a Yandel's partner on the second pair, or
and they never
to work with. And you know what? Now you're seeing another coach in Paul Maurice in Winnipeg not using him. And I've seen countless Jets fans saying free Bogdan of their own accord, you know. And
it's the same mistake that was made already once.
But if they fix the defense, if they get rid of this coaching, if they can come to terms with the fact that defense in the new NHL is not having a full defense of Quinn Hughes, of Zach Werenski's, guys who just, or Travis Hanheim's, you can't have six of them. You fucking can't. You need two of them. You can have two or three of them, but like, you know, you still need guys to be puck movers, not puck rushers. You still need guys who are going to lift sticks, who are going to feel comfortable without the puck and know when to switch in the D zone, when to help out their partner. And because how many times have I seen Matheson? How many times have I seen Yandel just pick a defenseman? Every defenseman picks their head up, looks around, and realizes they're on an island because their defense partner is not on the same page as them.
How many times have they flubbed the point shot? And the puck gets by them, and it's odd man rush.
And the reason why is because they're heading up ice to get in the play, because they're already just trying to be wingers. They're extra
wingers.
They can be
in the play, but they don't necessarily have to be rushing the puck up all the time.
And once they figure that out, once they figure, but like, you know, it bugs me that they hired a coach who, after that whole thing of, hey, we know we messed up, we want to do it this way, and Talon's totally in charge and all this stuff, they hired a coach and they hired a D coach who do not believe in that. Capuano says he wanted so-and-so, what, 150 points out of his defense every year or something like that. He wanted so many shots a game out of his defense. How's that worked out? We see what shooting from the outside and the perimeter and off the rush
they
to the
are
D.
Horrible in expected goals. Right? They have such a big difference in their expected and goals, even though their puck possession numbers are okay. And that's they take shots from terrible locations all the time.
I think that they can bet on Montembeau and someone similar, whether it's Thatcher Demko, which I've heard mentioned, whether it's if you get two Montembeaus to play in goal next year and you fix the defense and you get a new coach, you don't even need Panarin and you're probably winning a playoff round and you're probably having the best season in Florida Panthers history outside of going to the Stanley Cup. And it doesn't take that much money. The most money you spend would be in buying out guys and hiring a new coach. Because you could trade Hoffman and Matheson's money out and add that money in goalie and defense, and not really do much different.
And not bring
in the
back any of the fourth line grinders that are kind of irrelevant.
You could even do that, and I would still be confident this team would win a playoff series, even if Sheehan was back, even if Brower was back, and McGinn was back. But if they had, you know, Brett Pesce and Anton Strahlman on the back end, in the top four, and their third pair was like Mikoshin and Weegar, or Stillman and Weegar, or, you know, whatever. I would be very confident this team would be a 1-2-3 division seed and probably winning the first round of the playoffs.
I think that's what Panthers fans need to expect of this team next year. And I'm not saying that Panthers fans expectations, but
What's your feeling that, like, can you really say that Bob Bugner is not going to be back next year? There's
I
no
am
indication.
Pretty confident, not confident, I think that's the wrong word, but I'm pretty sure, I don't have any sources, I haven't reported it, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to fire him. Now, the thing that I'm going to say is twofold. I can't honestly imagine that they bring back the same coaching staff because it went so badly this year and they have one of the worst defensive records in the NHL. Cannot honestly imagine they bring back the same coaching staff. And since right now, their power play is pretty good, their penalty kill has been off lately, but they've got a top two power play, and they've had since October. You don't fire the guy that's coaching that. The other guy you fire would be Capuano. Now, I don't know who you'd hire to replace him to coach D and whether he'd be told to coach the same system, but anything's better than Capuano. Now, I also fully believe that if we go into next season and they have another one of their traditional October they play terrible and the first week of November they look like garbage, then Boogner would be fired. If he
But
comes back next season, he
then
will
you're
not
throwing
have much
away
hope.
all the rest of that season, because at that point, who would Florida be able to even hire? You're like picking Guy
Or until,
Boucher off
God
the,
forbid, Randy Carlyle.
like that's who, or
Well, here's my question. If you're firing him in the
it's Greg
offseason,
Kinnear coming off
Torrey
the set of
Kinnear,
as who's
Greg Kinnear. Oh,
as
God.
good as it gets, trying to,
Or Ken Hitchcock.
like you can't. That's the thing. You're basically already saying it's okay, like the Boogner can't come back, because the thing is he would be on such a short lease if he came back that you're basically risking another year of this team. And it just do it now. Just pull the Band-Aid off now, because again, this is the number one goal is, and Vinny Viola needs to wake up every morning thinking this. It's We need to re-sign Barkov. Barkov needs to win a playoff series. Wins need win needs to win multiple playoff series in the remainder of this contract to get him to come back.
Yep, you're
There's
absolutely
no
right about that because he can
reason.
walk for nothing, and no Florida Panthers fan would blame him. They would go hog wild blaming ownership. No one would blame Barkov.
I'm not too sure about that. I think
Well,
that
some
there's
Panthers fans would be stupid enough
enough.
to do that, but you know where we would stand, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and frankly, this was the make or break year for Florida, and how they responded was pathetic. How they responded should cast huge, huge shadows of doubts, and it has to the most arduent fans,
I
to
mean,
guys who defend the club
you
so
remember what happened
much.
a couple of weeks ago when they blew that lead to Boston. I mean, we followed the Florida Panthers for a long time. We followed the Florida Panthers for a long time on social media. I have never seen that much anger at the team.
But the thing with Florida Panthers fans is they release the anger and go back to neutral so quickly. It might be the weather,
Could be
or
the
I
weather,
don't
Dog
know, but
County.
it's
Well, then there's Monty Chance the
yeah,
next
because
game.
as soon as the, oh, okay, well, we really fucked up. We're gonna play Montembeau. Oh, okay, this team's great. I mean, I'm saying hearing people say, why are people criticizing the line? There's 9 games left. Let's just enjoy it. And how many times I've heard people, oh, it's, let's just enjoy it. What is there to enjoy? Like
They haven't
at
won a
least
playoff
last
series
year.
since the first Clinton administration. If this was any other team in any other market in the NHL, they would be crucified for it.
At least last year we were winning down the stretch and
I mean,
playing exciting
let's
hockey.
be
Like this
honest.
year we're doing nothing down the stretch.
Yeah,
We're
it's
like,
been bad.
this has just been like,
It's
there's no reason why there's not a Fire Boogner banner over this.
I was fully convinced after that game against the Bruins, I thought there was going to be one. And I
No,
still
it's
think there
because
might be one, but the fact that we haven't
no,
seen one yet.
and I think if we looked into the season ticket renewal numbers and stuff, I think it's more apathy than anger. And I think for Florida long term, that's worse. Short term, that lets the ownership and the management off the hook, and it probably means. I'm not saying that if fans started bitching and complaining more,
It would
Boogner
necessarily
would
change the
100%
fact.
be fired. But
But remember, you saw what happened. You
if
see
you
what happens
spent
with this team with when that row banner came up. Do you remember what happened when that row banner was a Sunday game against Montreal?
they pretty much admitted that they were going to fire Rowe as
And
soon
they
as
had to. They had to. And because you were, I remember Craig Custance tweeted, "I didn't realize the natives were that restless," and I joked that you should have listened to the Y Hockey podcast because we were. And obviously, he wasn't going to do that, and that was said mostly as a joke. But of course, it was like. It was so bad that that had to be done. And that's what it's going to take. Like, if the organization was embarrassed enough, like with what happened in that 16-17 season, to do something and create massive changes, then they'll do it because they realized that, when they got their tail between their legs, they will retreat, as most organizations would do when they have their tail between their legs. And the fans have to be able to put the pressure on the organization and expect them not to say, "Oh, we're happy if we make the playoffs." That can't be the expectation next year. You've got As you said, Alexander Barkov, he might end up breaking Pavel Bure's single-season points record for the Panthers this year. Jonathan Huberdeau set the Panthers' single-season assists record. Keith Yandle is going to break the Panthers' single-season franchise points for defensemen. Mike Hoffman set a career high in goals, and they're going to finish double-digit points out of the playoffs. That's unacceptable. Every other team in the NHL, if that happened, they'd be at least a playoff team, and you'd be expecting them to win at least more than a round. So that's where the Panthers fans have to go out and say, you can't be okay that you just have a team. You can't be okay if they make the playoffs. I understand that you would, because they've not made it very often, and that's good, and this is a league where more than half the teams make the playoffs. But they haven't won a playoff series in 23 years. I believe, and I'm looking it up as we speak, that if the sports that have series, that is the longest active drought without a playoff series win, right? Because what's happening in Columbus? They've gone all in to try to win this year. They might not win, but at least you can say for Jarmo Kekäläinen and John Tortorella, they've tried to spend their money to win a playoff series. You know what I mean? The Panthers haven't done that. And therein lies a huge amount of problems, and we know that the Panthers are capable. If you've got a player like Barkov, you're capable of doing more than they've been doing. And you're right. Every single day, Vinny Viola needs to go in, and ownership needs to go in, and the front office needs to go in and say, how can we do our best to keep him? Because if you lose him, you have to start from scratch. You have to start all over again. Because you don't get players like Alexander Barkov overnight. They made the best decision in franchise history to draft him over Drouin and Seth Jones. We can agree on that. And you can't go in and say he's won no playoff series as a Florida Panther, and then he walks, and then everybody goes, well, where about loyalty? And I'm like, why would you be loyal to the Panthers? They don't win. They've ruined his career. Why would he not go to look for somewhere to win? He deserves that opportunity, right? This is where...
Yeah, maybe Panthers... he wants to play more than 80 games in a year, you know?
And I'm like, shocked. Let's be honest. Like, every year, he's voted as the league's most underrated player because he plays in Florida and the team he's on is bad. Well, if the team he was on actually made it to the postseason, then people would appreciate how good he is. Like, he's not winning the Selkie this year because he's not had a good defensive season, but offensively, I mean, what more can you ask him to do? What more can you ask Jonathan Huberdeau to do? What more can you reasonably ask Mike Hoffman to do?
I'm old enough to remember being told that, oh, well, you know, if Barkov would just get 90 points, the team would make the playoffs.
Well, it's
if Huberto,
they haven't made the playoffs.
If Huberto would just, get you know, yeah, if they just had one more 30-goal scorer, you know, they have, what, 520 goals? You know,
it's 520 goal scorers this year. Yep.
There's a – and, you know, I've been looking into the Panthers' seventh-round draft pick last year. The defenseman, the Finn, Santu, yeah. You know, he's looking pretty good in the pro league. His stats and everything. I don't think he's NHL ready next year, but that is promising that, you know, Max Gilden is I think he needs to leave UNH is
I
my
No, you do live there.
Is my opinion. I think it's harder. It's going to be hard for him to take any further steps with how poor that team is. I think it's probably better to just transition him to the
well,
AHL.
You read the piece on Sarah Noel recently from George and the Athletic.
Yeah.
They seem to really like him.
Yeah, and there's a lot of promise and potential, and you know, if it may only take one off season to turn this around and
like they could easily
make them into
a team that is as good as Boston and Toronto and win a playoff series, and that should absolutely next year be the expectation.
And they could have been that team this year.
Me that a Panthers team with some slight adjustments would have been better than Carolina, Columbus, and Montreal. Absolutely, they would have been better than all of them.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look at the coaching job Claude Julien's doing.
Other than basically admitting Jonathan Drouin can't play anymore, which is true because he's not playing any minutes anymore. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well.
By the way, I'm looking up like what is the longest active series droughts? Like, what was the last time a team won a playoff series? Yes. And I'm looking at it right now in the NBA, and the longest active drought is, as far as I can tell, because I'm looking at it very quickly while talking, is the Milwaukee Bucks. They last won a playoff series in 2001. Now, that's going to end this year because they're going to win a series, right? But that's the longest active playoff drought in that sport. In Major League Baseball, I mean, it's different because of the games that you have and how the series works, but there's no team that's had a long of a drought, as Florida has, obviously. And then if you look at the NFL, the longest active playoff drought is the Bengals, who haven't won a playoff game since 1991. And the Bengals are even worse than the Panthers. Like, they're even more incompetent, if you can believe that. So you look at all of that, right? And you say, like, they haven't won a playoff series since the first 4 years of Bill Clinton. And people are like, oh, we're happy to have a team. Panthers fans, you can't think like that. You cannot think like that. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
that's a
they.
mindset that's going to kill this organization from the fans. And it's happened with Edmonton, and that's why they've won one playoff series in the last, since the lockout, because they expect so little. And at least the fans in Edmonton hold ownership to task. You know what I mean? Like, when you hear the stories about what's going on in Ottawa and what's going on in Edmonton right now, we hear all these stories about crisis of consumer confidence. There is no belief in what the fans think the organization is going to do to win, right? No one believes in what the Ottawa Senators are doing, and no one believes in what the Oilers are doing. I'd like to think that the Panthers fans, there's a crisis of confidence, but I don't legitimately know if there's a crisis of confidence.
I
Because
mean,
maybe
there's not. I mean, I think
there should be.
it's not so much that Florida Panthers fans have confidence in the team or the ownership. It's they don't think that they should be allowed to have that type of decision or like feel that way. It's oh no, like it's just we support Florida.
There's nothing
It's
wrong with
the
supporting the Panthers, but
but they don't.
it's
It's not a level of. This ownership has done a very good job of sowing the seeds that, what being a fan is and what being a fan isn't. And for a lot of people, they're happy to be close enough. They're happy with the chance. They're happy because, for whatever reason, they believe this is the only professional sports team that honors the military, or for whatever reason, they think this is the only sports team that cares about the community that they take money from.
Yeah, no, that ain't true.
And it there's so there's just a lot that gets pushed under the rug with this team and this franchise that where I mean, we're still it is unbelievable the fact that they are playing Josh Brown. They signed this guy, Brady Keeper. They're going to be playing him. And probably their best defensive prospect, I would say, outside of Max Gilden is Thomas Shemtich. And why isn't he playing? He's been buried in the AHL. They still can't figure out a good AHL development path for their defensemen. They still have a bunch of useless bodies in the AHL. And if they're going to be churning these prospects we're all excited about, these the hope, the future hope that the fans are always being sold. Things have to really change this offseason. We need Chris Pronger to step out and to take more control of this team. We need Talon to take less control. We need the ownership to continue to take less control, but to open up their budgets more and more and be willing to pay outside of just the cap hit and
Listen,
to
and that's
pay.
where people saying, like, well, they spend nearly to the cap. Well, again, what are they spending on off-cap things? What do
Well,
they
I
spend
mean,
on coaching
go.
staffs?
Do they spend to the cap? I mean,
Well, they're not
again,
technically spending to the cap, but let's be honest, they're spending
cap
closer to the
friendly.
cap than most people
Let's
expected them
see.
to. They're up to
One,
76 million.
two, three,
There's 14
four,
teams that spent
five.
more than them.
Oh, so they're in the middle of the pack?
Yes.
Okay. So this is everything. They've always been in the middle of the pack. They keep saying
Well,
we're doing
except for those
this, we're
2 years
doing
where they
that,
always went to the floor. Let's be
and you
honest.
go back and it's oh, they're just middle of the pack. They're just middle of the pack. They're just middle of the pack. If that's what being competitive to this ownership is, that's fine. But I mean,
You
then
can't
they're
be saying
wrong.
we have a Stanley Cup window to win in 3 years. And by the way, that 3 year window has expired. And you know how many times they've made the playoffs in that 3 year window? Zero.
Yeah, I mean,
You have to hold people to task. You
They
cannot be
need to make
afraid
the
of
big.
what's going to happen. What is ownership going to say that would make you, what are you afraid of as a fan? If you say, I'm disappointed in the product, I want more, and what's ownership going to say to you that makes you afraid? Like, that's what I'm genuinely curious about. Like,
I
what are
mean,
you afraid of as
how
a
we,
fan? You know what I
but
mean?
it, yeah, I mean, to me though, it's like, all right, they signed a defenseman rated keeper. Great story, you know, his background, having 63 cents in his bank account before the day before he signed, which, you know, that speaks more about NCAA athletics
Yes.
than the
Did you
Florida
see that
Panthers
video of what
there.
a day in the life is like? It's like, yeah,
Yes.
it got pilloried for good reason because it's great parody. Maybe Saturday Night Live could actually do a parody of that would be funny as opposed to, bad like most of their stuff is now. Anyway, like it's
Yeah.
a great story and it
But
is hard to divorce
he
sometimes the human element from hockey, but in terms of just a pure hockey perspective.
it's going to be tough to see how that really changes any of the fortunes. And if that, and I understand undrafted free agent signings kind of are, you don't kind of go after the top of the class first. It's kind of when the schools are done, who's willing to sign, who's wants to sign to play this year because that's an incentive for them, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they need to be attacking, I think, different types of defensemen. I haven't seen him play too much, and a lot of prospects haven't don't really have notes on him or anything, but he was a 21-year-old freshman, which is old for somebody who's going to make an impact or make the NHL, period. You know, he's turning 23 and he was only a sophomore in college. He came from the second tier junior league in Canada, where he basically played most of his minutes and most of his numbers as an overager, which, you know, he's noted as a
Nothing
puck
wrong with
rusher.
that.
Nothing wrong with that, but where does he fall on the Panthers' defense? Right above Ludwig Bystrom, who, you know, it's not going to be, oh, I don't think this kid's in the NHL next year. I don't think this kid's in the NHL really.
It's a
And, you know,
flyer
I'd
you
love to
take to
be,
hope you get on a
yeah,
lottery ticket.
but, you know, there needs to be a couple more signings of that quality or better quality in D before, you know, the offseason even gets going. Because, you know, I'm looking at their draft history, their who they have on defense, and it's a bunch of flyers. It's a bunch of not Philadelphia flyers, but a bunch, you know, like Jacob McDonald, like that's a flyer. He's 26. You maybe could have turned him into something if you gave him any gameplay this year, but they didn't. You know, they have Riley Stillman, who might be something. Michael Downing's probably nothing. Šemtić might be something. Melchiori's nothing. Bystrom's nothing. Who else do they have? Gildan, Inamoto, the guy they just drafted in the 7th round this year.
Kintunen.
Yeah, that's it. That's like all they got. That's
And their
terrible. That's.
D. Oh, a couple of other guys. Like, yeah, that's basically it. Like the
Not,
Swedish guy they drafted in 2016 that might never be heard from again.
yeah, minus,
Linus Nassen. Like if that's where it is. Like, there's just not enough D in the system. That's why you trade Hoffman if you could get a defensive guy that could really help
yeah,
you.
and then they just need to, like, this draft, I hope the first three rounds they just draft four defensemen
Yeah, you don't need more forwards. They've got plenty of them, and you could
that would
find
be,
forwards
I
later in
mean.
the draft. Well,
But
here's the
I
other thing, though.
don't know what they're gonna like.
So, okay, let's
Where
go.
where's the belief that the team that's really just gonna like probably let Dennis Malgin go or bury Dennis Malgin again another season so they can play Jamie McGinn? Like where? Like I know what they need to do. I know that they could do it within the budget that they want to spend and be a real challenger in the playoffs, somebody who can win a series, maybe two, and get on a streak and be an upset and ruin someone's chances. But I don't have any faith that they will make the decisions to get there because they've never made those decisions before. The people who have shown time and time again aversion to making those tough decisions are still the ones making the same calls. And the what I really need to see is Bugner. That's the That's the big one, because that's the one that's going to come first. It's going to come before the draft. You know, firing coach is something that would happen pretty quickly after the season.
It would happen, let's see. They play their final game on a Saturday. It would happen on Monday.
Tuesday. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
By the way, the draft lottery is that Tuesday night. And, yeah. I don't expect the Panthers. Here's the other thing that I want to talk about with some what Panthers fans are talking about with losing and does losing matter. Well, at this point, they've already won too much that they can't get enough of work in the lottery balls that it's going to matter. They're already too many points ahead. So the losing at this point is irrelevant. It's all about...
Well, I would say that, yeah. But just remember, the loss in Krause year...
It is the difference between... They were going to take Rantanen if it wasn't taken before him.
And, the other guy on the list was Timo Meier, and they would have picked eighth if they didn't win that last final game.
This is true. You're right.
So,
a game against the Devils, which is also what's going to happen this year.
If Montembeau's in net, I'm not rooting him for them to lose. If Montembeau's not in net, I am rooting for them to lose. I think your overall point, though, that at this point in the season,
it doesn't matter anymore.
Because unless it comes down to, you just miss on the D they needed to draft.
Standings, they are 11th out of the 15 that have missed the playoffs.
So you miss Byram, the best North American D in the draft. He'll be gone by top eight. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can also move up. You have drafted a little move up.
I wouldn't take it. I mean, I think if you're going to be using your capital to do anything, your capital is to get a top four left-handed defenseman to play with Ekblad, or somebody to play with the end, something. You got to get a top four defenseman if you're going to be using capital to do anything.
Yes.
Or a goalie.
Or a goalie, you're right, yeah.
I mean, I wish you could use the capital to get a coach.
Well, I want to give you one draft thing, and then we'll talk. I want to talk about coaches for a second. If let's say they're drafting 11th, because if you think the Panthers have enough goodwill built in with the hockey gods to win a draft lottery, one of the three...
Right.
That ain't happening. Don't even think about it being a remote possibility. Where they finish is probably where they're going to draft.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, there's always a shot that a forward falls. Like Archer Kaliev is probably the one in the OHL, plays for Hamilton. I'm terrible with pronunciation, so
yeah,
if it doesn't
Kaliev.
Sound.
And the reason, and of course, how they think that they could get goodwill back with the fan base is by drafting somebody who's from Delray Beach.
Right. And
which, again, I wouldn't be opposed to, but they need D.
I wouldn't be opposed to him either. And, there's always the offhand chance that he falls to 11 or 12, or he falls within the range that the Panthers could move up to get him or something like that. But I think with the D, you're basically just looking at, trying to pick the guy you think is going to be the best defender in 3 or 5 years. And you can get that pick. I mean, at 13, you can get that pick. At 18, 28, 29, sometimes that's where the best defenders of that draft are. So your point.
21st, and for a while, we thought he'd be pretty dang good.
Right. And, Rasmus Sandin was drafted 29th, and he's having the best AHL year for defensemen of all time or something right now. So there's hope if you're picking a D anywhere. So I think it's unlike last year's where other years where
it was clear who was top and it was clear that there was a different.
I think there's
there's not a really high top end D this year. This is
I would say that a lot of the D, there's a lot of D of what Florida needs. There's not an Aaron. I don't think there's an Aaron Ekblad. I mean, I think Byram is probably a number two D at best. He might be first pairing, but he's probably second pairing. And, that's kind of the last couple D. Most D only, it's hard to project as a first pairing defenseman these days, especially with what's required of it, that there's, not that many of them.
The last time that there was I guess Dolly last year was different.
But that doesn't mean that they won't be NHL players at 2021 and fill the need Florida has, work really good with Ekblad or Yandel and some of the other D. And as a unit, be good enough to win a cup for Florida. I think it's very much possible that if they do pick a D at 12 overall this year, or 13, 14, wherever they end up picking, that D, if they make the right choice, could be the D that actually has a huge impact in the one run we make with Barkov before he goes wherever. Like maybe they're not at the time of the draft thought to be as good as Miro Heiskanen, but they might end up being as good as Miro Heiskanen, and that would be a great type of defenseman for Florida to luck out and
I mean,
get.
there's a lot of them that you could get, like, and you have to go attack the teams in a figurative sense, obviously,
Yeah,
to go
and
find those defensemen that are on, like, as you said, Calgary's got extra ones. You can trade for one of them, I would assume, if you gave them an
Oliver
offensive piece.
Shillington, I
Oliver
mean,
Shillington, yeah.
Rasmus Anderson, I'd like more, but
Yeah, I mean,
they're
like, and
less likely.
Carolina's got too many. You could definitely trade, and you gotta find out, like, what, like, you gotta go after teams and say, what kind of, what player do they need? You have to go and be smart about that. And I know they are capable of doing it because they pulled off the Hoffman trade. So it's not as if they're entirely dumb. You know what I mean? Like, I know that they can do this. It's just a matter of whether they can do this and whether they want to do this. Those kinds of stories. And we will find out. So in terms of coaches for this offseason,
Well, let me just, while we're here,
one last thing
I'll
on this,
just
and then we'll go to coaches, and then we'll wrap it up.
here's some D that would be, first, second round guys. I mean, obviously Bowen Byram is probably gonna be the first D off the board. But I don't know if he's necessarily gonna be the best. I think it's close enough that it's possible there's a better D after him in the draft for sure. Mikko Kakkonen, Philip Broberg, Tobias Bjornfort, Ville Heinola, Lassie Thompson. I'll go some North American guys for you now. Robertson? Yeah, Matthew Robertson.
I don't know. I rely on you in terms of
Yes.
draft
Yeah,
grading.
I messed that up. It's Matthew Robertson.
You are my draft guy here. I want more people to read when Tommy does his draft stuff because he really does care and he puts the
This
effort.
year, and Victor Shouldersome is another Swede I'll throw a shout out to. But those are some good names, and if Florida got any one of those guys, he would easily be
The best
the
defensive
number one.
prospect in the organization.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gildon is a solid prospect. I just worried that it's going to be more in the same vein of, that's a backfill
Stillman and
for.
Shemtish kind of guys.
Well, no, I mean, I think Stillman and Šemtić are more the defensemen of what Florida needs. I think
Stillman
Gildon
looked
is
not
more.
bad in his first game, let's be
No,
honest.
I mean, but they're types of the guys who would get categorized as two-way defensemen, guys who skate well, pass well, think well, and they're happy and comfortable being the facilitators of the offense. They don't need
You
to
don't
be
need
the
you and
drivers of
you
the
the
offense.
Panthers do not the Panthers on the back end think they need a lot of piano players, to use a phrase from soccer that's going to be translated here. They need some t Usually it is in soccer, you have too many piano carriers, you need piano players. The Panthers have too many piano players on defense, or people who they think are piano players. They need a few piano carriers, and those are the kind of defensemen that they need.
You know what they need? They need a bass player. They need a couple bass players.
Yeah,
Somebody to
they need the guy from
keep the
Primus.
groove.
They need the
Someone
guy from Primus.
to
That's
Yeah,
what they need. They need a guy from Primus. They need the historically great bass player.
they need somebody who's gonna be
They need
consistent.
Mike Dirnt. Okay, wait. No, maybe not him. Maybe not him.
Somebody consistent, someone that ha is gonna keep a strong backbone to the overall piece movement. Of what's going on in the ice, and
Oh God. Okay.
I
One more
think
thing I want to get to, which is
they'll get there eventually, but yeah, they need
if it's not Quenneville because they can't pay up enough money for Quenneville, and I
it
still.
could be Babcock, because
Well, you know what? You know what's ironic about that is that.
if we're gonna have a coach who's gonna play grinders and be old school and stubborn, it might as well be a good one instead of a bad one,
Yeah, I
right?
mean, Babcock is like, you know what? I know that he's like kind of semi-openly feuding now with Kyle Dubas because he doesn't like the way the roster's
I mean,
constructed. But
that
wouldn't
might
you take Babcock
and
over
it might.
anything the Panthers have had since, I mean, other than Gallant, wouldn't you? He'd be the best coach in Panthers history.
I mean, I'd even possibly take him over Gallant because I think, for it's still that same old school, playoff hard hockey, like that kind of stuff, which is fine. I don't really have too much against it, but he still has the same, blind spots of, he would dress Logan Shaw and
He
that
dressed
kind of stuff.
Troy Brower and like Josh Brown and things like that. By the way, Panthers fans, it's okay to like players that don't hit all the time and don't want to get into fights. Hockey's not played in 1996 anymore. It's okay.
Listen, I mean, it's a lot of AHL fan bases like those players too. When you don't get good, exciting hockey, you have to watch something on the ice, right?
Oof.
So
Well, what
it's.
about I was reading in 31 Thoughts yesterday, and we're going to wrap it up shortly. I mean, what if the Panthers hired Todd McClellan?
Nah.
No? I'd be
I
okay
mean,
with that.
I think then you're. I mean, I'd rather Dan Bylsma if we're gonna go from that well.
Yeah, I
I
think
think
you could
Dan
probably
Bylsma
agree
has more probably natural talent than McClellan for the position.
because I'm
I
trying to
think
think of coaches that you could come in, because at this point you can't hire another first-time head coach. You have to hire a
no.
veteran
I
coach.
mean, and I think yeah, Quenneville is obviously one that I'm telling Dale Talen, if you want to fucking use the office here, if you want to get allowed back in the rink, like you have to get Joel Quenneville here. We'll pay the money, we'll do whatever we can, but you gotta get him to sign up here. If not, like you're permanently golfing, we're gonna let you go, we're gonna turn it over because there's no value you bring to this franchise if you can't get Joel Quenneville here. And I think that
Chris
has to
Pronger,
be
the
the message.
GM.
And if it's not Quenneville,
I can't think of many other
I think you
coaches.
need to then do two things. You have to do your homework and find the best
I know you would be
next
advocating for Rickard
option.
Granberg, but they'll never do
Well,
that.
like, Cooper's going to be a free agent
Oh,
as
they're not. Well,
well.
there's no way, there's no hope in hell that that's going to end up happening. So I wouldn't even bother
But
with
you know
that.
what? You gotta pursue that.
Now,
You
wouldn't
gotta
it be great if the
at
Panthers
least
did
try
try
to.
that?
You gotta wiggle him. You gotta throw some money at
Or
him.
you got to make the
At
Lightning
least,
pay more money.
yeah. At least make Tampa have to do more work re-signing him. Because you're looking for. I mean, you need that coach that badly. I think that there's a possibility that you could not get an NHL veteran coach, but get a veteran AHL coach or a veteran European coach, and
They should
still,
have
if
hired
you do your
Dallas
homework,
Eakins, because everyone
well, yeah,
thought they
I
were going
mean,
to hire Dallas Eakins.
Dallas,
Didn't.
you need somebody. I
Dallas
mean, I
Eakins
don't
is
know
going to
if
be a great
Dallas.
coach for Anaheim next year, by the way.
You need someone who's demonstrated the ability to handle a bench and handle a difficult bench and to outcoach some other guys. And I think Dallas Eakins has done some of that, but has he done it long enough that that he
I mean,
would
what you'd say about
have?
Dallas
Because I
Eakins
think
is they
there's a
develop players really well down there in San Diego. That's not
right,
the
but
issue with the Ducks.
One of the issues is Bob Bugner has, and I know that there's going to be someone who comes and tries to combat me with this, but I would put money on this that Bob Bugner has an issue with the locker room. The people do not think that, like, he doesn't have the authority to
I
get the
think
job done.
there's got to be some players in there after what has happened, especially after the Boston game. I mean, they played well in the next two after that, but those were the other two teams in Minnesota and Detroit that didn't want to try. Like, I can almost imagine that after what happened this year and after all the excuses, an organization that loves excuses. I was listening to Mike Babcock talk yesterday before the Buffalo game, and the Leafs are playing really badly right now, but he said, like, if we're playing badly, that's on me, on the coach. There is no Panthers coach that has ever said that. Maybe Gallant said that once or twice, right? But Mike Babcock would instantly be better, even if he's got a lot of problems, because he would admit if the team is not playing well, that's my fault. I have to fix it. Yes, it is. Why is it hard for somebody to admit, yeah, we screwed up. I got to go fix this and be
I
better?
don't know. I don't know why it's so hard to try different D pairs. I don't know why it's so hard to give
Give
Henrik
Henrik Lundqvist some real
Bjurstrom,
minutes.
like put your prospects in the slots where they're supposed to be. I mean, like he's not a grinder. Why are you putting him in grinder spots? You can't say it's to improve his defense. His defense is probably outside Barkov's and maybe two or three other forwards,
Dadonov.
the best on the team
He's been
at
much better
defense.
defensively.
He's than our defense. I would rather Barkov-Borgstrom pairing on defense than any other pairing on defense on the team, and that's so sad. And
Yeah.
it speaks to so much that's wrong. And like, there's no way that the Florida Panthers can go into the season without someone that instills trust in the fan base and in the players and in the ownership and in the GMs, that when the game's tied or there's a one goal lead in the third period, that the bench is going to be calm, that the right player is going to be on the
I mean,
ice at the
how can
right
you say
time,
that there isn't a
and they're going
coaching
to
issue
feel
with this
confident
team?
to get the job done.
How
I
can you
mean,
say that there?
it's a coaching issue when Sheehan is on the ice in the last 2 minutes,
And he can't
like
do anything
double shifting,
offensively.
double fucking shifting.
Well, there's also, I'm gonna give you some stats, and we're gonna end it on this, and it's coaching problems. How many teams in the NHL actually have an under 500 record in terms of losses, not just hockey 500, under real 500, after when they lead after the first period? The Panthers have an under 500 record when they lead after the first period. They're 12-7-8. They are 21-6-3 when they lead after two. That means in 30 games that they have led after two periods, they've lost nine of them. That is awful. They are a minus 24 in third period goals. They lose games in the third period. And there is no doubt about that. That's happened in Anaheim. That happened in Dallas. How many games have they thrown away late? For no reason, because they can't sit on a lead, they can't protect the lead. They are like 27th in the league in Corsi four percentage when they lead in the third period, or like in third period total, which is obscene. You can't play like that. They are a positive in shots in the first two periods, but they're a minus in shots in the third period. That's amazing. You can't play like that. And if you say that's not a coaching issue, that's a coaching problem, right? That's a coaching issue. And that needs to be changed. And as I said, I don't think Bob Boone was fired because they're scared of firing another coach because they've had seven of them this decade, which is not how they should think, but it's how they do think. And they're afraid of making decisions. They cannot come back with the same coaching staff as constructed right now. Obviously, I think they know that, but then again, it's the Panthers. I might not necessarily be so sure. However,
And that's the big thing. Like,
whatever the point is,
there's a
if he
path
can't come
forward. There's
back,
multiple paths forward. There's a multiple paths forward for this team to win playoff series next year.
and that needs to
And
be the expectation. No matter what people say, that has to be the expectation in the building and from the fan base. You cannot go in next year saying just making it's okay, because that's lowering a bar. You need to win and you need to get something done. You need to prove that this team can be competitive before, I mean, the expansion draft, let alone, Barkov being a free agent. That is a
Remember when they said that like there's no excuses for not starting off fast this year?
And they stunk in October, November again.
And then they made excuses for it and everything. Like
It's
that
that
just
there's always something. There's always a reason. And the answer is like, no, there every reason that you have is internal. Sometimes the ref makes bad calls. That happens. It's sports. There's
That
nothing we can
happens
do.
a lot, apparently, to Florida Panthers
Apparently, it
fans.
happens all the time because, well, the
The only
Panthers have the
reason
league's second best power
they
play.
lose.
Well, it's like, oh, the goaltending was
Hot
not good.
goalies.
Well, but
Hot
it's like,
goalies.
well, the goaltending, why isn't it good? Can we say like, Roberto Luongo is a Hall of Fame goalie. There might be reasons why he's playing poorly because the team in front of him is not supporting him. You know what I mean? These are all things that have to be addressed, and it's the organization, and we've said this before, and we'll say it again until they actually do it and they prove that they're going to do it instead of just, saying that they're going to do it. They must go out every single time and say, we are going to win, and there are no excuses for it, and prove there's going to be no excuses for it. And
And
I'm waiting to see that that happens. And the fan base is the only way that they are going to get to do it. Now, here's one other thing I'll say. If we're going to go after Jameson for saying some of the things he says on Twitter, he works for the team. Of course, he's going to say that. He gets a paycheck. That's not who you should go after. The poor guy would probably say it if he could. And we know how the media with the Panthers, which is two people, how it works. You can expect more from them in their coverage. That's absolutely fine. You know that this is the organization they deal with, and there is the balancing act between getting the access that you need and being objective. You have to, as a fan, then say to the Panthers, if you don't continue, if you continue to play as you are and you continue to do what you're doing, we're not going to show up. And the only way sometimes is embarrassing this organization. You remember what happened in that Dallas game, you know, when there was less than 10,000 people there, and I pointed out the attendance, and I said, this is embarrassing, and it's all on the team to acknowledge it because they've run such a bad ship that people don't want to go. And you can say, well, Tuesday night against the Stars, who cares? But it doesn't matter because the Panthers fans, like Adam Wilde on one of the recent Steve Dangle podcasts said, like, made a joke about Panthers fans. And I would be like, well, there aren't many because the people that are there are so jaded that they don't want to be, you know, associated with that anymore. They don't want to spend their money to go to these games. And who can blame them? The Panthers are bad. They're not going to reward your investment. And those, and in this marketplace, you need to be good, and you need to be good consistently for people to care. And the Panthers aren't good enough to care. They've won a playoff series in 23 years. In every other market, that would be unacceptably bad, right? So that's the thing. You have to, as the fans, you need to say on, I mean, listen, I don't know whether saying it on social media is necessarily the best way, but you need to speak with your wallet, and you need to say, unless you win, unless you prove that you are going to do the things that you say you're going to do, then we're not going to come back. And you have to, in many ways, embarrass them. You know what I mean? Empty seats, well, it always happens at Panthers games, but empty seats is pretty embarrassing, especially when you get to Panthers levels, right? Banners over the rink are embarrassing, right? And if it takes shaming them into making them make better decisions and admitting that they screwed up, then that's what you have to do. And that is what you should be expecting of sports teams. They're there to win. You know, if you run them well, they can make money, but they're there to win. And you know what? You're either selling wins or you're selling hope. The Panthers can't sell wins because they don't have any, and the hope is always constantly dashed because the organization makes decisions that cause them to, you know, that cause you to lose hope, right? These are things that the Florida Panthers absolutely 100% have to get right. Because if you lose Alexander Barkov to free agency, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Maybe some Panthers fans will blame him, but the larger chorus from people not just here but everywhere else in the hockey world is, they didn't win when he was there. Why would he stay? And that's what we're going to say if it happens, right? That's what you should say. You know what? The Islanders lost John Tavares, and while the indications were he was going to stay, he left because of the Leafs presentation. He won one playoff series. Can you blame him for wanting to go to a team where he's got a better chance to win? I really can't blame him, even if the way that situation went about was not good, right? It could be the same thing that happens with the Panthers. And I wouldn't blame Barkov for a second for walking, because this team needs to serve him better for all that he's given them. This needs to serve these players who have been through every single bit of awful play.
They're not. We're just talking for 2 hours about how, like, all the stuff they can do and whatever. And we know that they're not going to fire Bugner. There's definitely going to be at least one of Rongo and Reimer back next year, if not both of them. And yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, as I said, like, next year, I predict
they're going to give
make the playoffs,
or they're going to give Bobrovsky a huge contract to a goalie who's been healthy scratched down, you know,
the stretch. Goalie that is terrible in the playoffs, garbage in the playoffs. But like, here's the thing, like, you have to expect, like, I'm not predicting they're going to make the playoffs next year. And the narrative about the team that I'm going to carry into next season, as somebody who, while I like the team, I cover them objectively as much as I possibly can on this podcast, Rat Trick, and on social media. And people say it's negative, but I'm sorry, if you haven't won a playoff series in 23 years, I don't know how you can be anything other than that, right? You have to be realistic, and the expectation next year for the Panthers is you need to win a playoff series, but I cannot predict them reasonably to do so, right? Until they prove to me that they're doing things that will put them down that path, because it looked like they were going to do it this year, and they didn't. They screwed it up, and now that is the story that must be told. You can expect them to win a playoff series next year, which is what the expectation should be internally and outside. But if I had to make predictions next season, I'm not predicting them to make the playoffs. I can't, in any reasonable regard, predict them to make the playoffs. Because this season, they should have made it, and they screwed it up. So that is how you have to hold those expectations. But whether you think they're actually going to do it or not is an open question. And that's where I think this stands for the Panthers in 2019. They have a chance to do what they need to do to win, but they have to prove that they can do it. And they don't really deserve much of the benefit of the doubt at this point. And I know you don't give it to them. I'm was more willing to give it to them, but after this year, I'm not going to do it anymore. So that's up to the organization to get the trust back in the fans. And it is up to the fans to hold the organization accountable and say, this is unacceptable. You cannot continue to do this. Otherwise, we will embarrass you. You know what I mean? Like, we will either not show up or there will be banners over the rink, and the best player in franchise history is going to walk, and you have only yourselves to blame for that. And that's the kind of – and that's what – and I understand, Panthers fans, it's great that you have a team, and I understand that there's always a fear of relocation. I get that. But if this team won, then there wouldn't be talk about relocation because people would show up and the organization would be in a better position, right? I listened to John Chayka on 31 Thoughts a couple of weeks ago. If you go back and listen to that John Chayka podcast.
I think at some point, though, it's not like on the fan. Like, yes, it's on the fans to just like keep going on them to fire Bugner until
Well, no,
like,
it's
he's fired.
Organization to make the changes, obviously.
But like, you know,
I think we're at 2 hours. Yeah, well, one final thing. I wanted to finish the thought on the Chayka podcast, and then we're going to really wrap this up because Maryland's about to play in the NCAA tournament. That's another team I have to yell at, and I'm not going to do that here. I have another podcast where I do that. Here's the story with Chayka. He understands that being the GM of the Arizona Coyotes is fraught with difficulties, and there are things he can't control, but he doesn't make excuses about why everything is going wrong. He has never once said anything about excuses. Rick Tocchet, who is not a great coach, doesn't make excuses. If the Panthers had the same number of injuries that the Coyotes had, and let's think that the Panthers have also been really healthy again for almost the second straight year, sans Trocheck, you know, again, this is what we're talking about. Like, they don't make excuses, and they're in a playoff spot, and the Panthers are playing them the day we were recording this. How is Arizona able to do that, other than the West barrier of entry being lower, and why can't the Panthers do it? The Coyotes have a worse roster. The Coyotes are arguably in a worse situation. Why can't the Panthers do what the Coyotes have been doing? That's the bare minimum. It's the same thing with Carolina. And we spent last year making fun of Tom Dundon. But that team's going to go to the playoffs. Why can't the Panthers do that?
It's because they have a coach who, I mean, he might not be the best coach in the NHL, but he's put together a system that makes sense and that gives results and probably fits the team. And then for whatever reason, they have the guys who are executing it and playing well. It doesn't take a genius to understand that, you know, when the D don't have any accountability in the D zone, they're not going to somehow stop turning the puck over magically halfway through a season. If Matheson doesn't either have his game changed, his partner changed, or get sat for turning the puck over, he's going to keep turning the puck over because the system's not changing around him. His partner isn't changing, so he has better or different types of support. And if he's not getting sat, why would he change the way he's thinking and acting on the ice? So, you know, there's tons of reasons you can look and just point to coaching as to reasons why the team isn't cohesive, reasons why the team can't put together 60 minutes, or once one thing goes wrong, why the team just falls apart, because they're not a team. They're individuals assembled together playing in the same uniforms, but they're not all working towards the same goal. They're not all suited for that goal, and there's not that much buy-in. I think it's pretty obvious when watching the play in the D zone, where the buy-in is and where it isn't. And, you know,
right.
It's...
Oh, you're right. You're right.
It's a shame because it's a thing
that we're here again. Like, I remember the first podcast with you where we yelled and screamed about ownership in that awful season. And we thought maybe something was changing. And they played really well down the stretch. Turned out that was a fluke, like everything else with the Panthers. It's a fluke. Everything that has been good in the Panthers organization has happened by accident, not because
it has happened a lot in a lot shorter time frame than all the bad stuff around it has happened.
Yep, everything's been very, very brief. It's been like Halley's Comet.
It's been like Michael Matheson's career. There's like two good weekends that have just been blown out of proportion, and then the world championship, and it's like, oh, he's been bad for about 3 years now. Don't worry, he'll change.
I mean, it's not being negative. It's being everything else when we want to hold the organization accountable so they can win, which is what everybody wants in the end. Having a team is nice. Having a team that wins is
I
nicer.
just can't wait for the Seattle team to root for, because I just can't wait to get off this. I can't wait for Barkov to be gone, to get off this fucking team, because they are cancer. They are cancer.
Well,
Oh
if you
my
consider
God.
that I root for the Florida Panthers and there are teams that I would describe as even more cancerous in my life. Anyway.
That's why I can't do other sports.
Well, you should because there are other teams, but you just need to pick teams that win better. I mean, Crystal Palace is being sold and they're aren't they in the No, they're not in the FA Cup semifinals. But they are going to help Tottenham open their new stadium, which is going to be exciting. Anyway, while we do that, I'm about to watch another one of these cancerous teams as Marilyn Williams described as a dysfunctional viper pit. That's another story entirely. Until then, we will speak to you after the season when the Panthers lose the draft lottery and we can preview playoff hockey, which will be a lot more fun to watch, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Ah, come on. There's going to be some fun playoff hockey this year.
This year has taken all the fun out of hockey for me, and I don't say that lightly. It's just been, I don't know how you can't, if you're taking a really objective look at it, how you can't just be like
Well,
apathetic
I've already been
and
burnt
burnt
so
out.
badly in my life
Yeah.
that
Like, not
nothing
just
can do it
burnt, but
worse.
just burnt out, where it's just like you could care less. Like, you could care less that the season's almost over. You could care less that, it's likely that this is the height of Barkov's career in the Florida Panthers jersey, because, it's just going to keep going downhill till he leaves the team, or Huberto's going to ask for a trade this off season or next off season, because the team's just not going to get it together. There's no rhyme or reason to believe it,
Well, sorry I'm
and you
so
don't see any.
preemptive, but when they lose again.
I mean, again, like I said, the first sign you need to see is Bugner gone, and then if that happens, then you're like, okay, then there's a reason to have hope. And if Bugner's not gone, if Luongo and Reimer are the goalies next year, or Montembeau's in the AHL, or getting called up and down and all that shit.
We hate to say we told you so.
This is the same people who really, really thought that like Borgstrom was going to play all year.
Well, they're
Idiots.
well. It's the same people up top who made the same decision to hire the people who were not qualified to be in the positions that they should have been in, and well,
So
there you have
hopefully the next podcast, or probably the next podcast I'm gonna be on, is when Borgstrom is actually playing hockey, and Bugner is not the head coach, and
I
there's
don't
some
know
sort
about
of.
that. I don't. Maybe in the playoffs we'll talk about how good the Lightning are.
No, I don't. I have no plans to really watch playoff hockey. I have no real plans to deal with hockey the rest of
See
this
what
season.
you've done, Florida
This
Panthers, to
is
my good
it's
friend Tommy
just.
Kulikowski. This should be a very happy time in his life, and
It's just.
he's been burnt to a crisp.
There's just. Yeah. It's hard for me because I watch good hockey and I just think about like how nice it would be to see some of these Florida Panthers forwards get to play that type of
It
hockey.
would be great, but you can also, of course, watch March Madness. Watch all of your rest of your money go up in smoke.
No, I can't deal with the hoop ball.
Well, you like the Sixers, I mean, for Christ's sake.
I mean, I like the Sixers because I'm from Philadelphia and it's trendy now because they're somewhat good.
Yes, they are. But they did beat the Celtics. So, I mean, hey, well, I have nothing. Well, you could watch the Philadelphia Union. Well, they're bad too. But an 18-year-old from Shawnee High School scored a goal against Atlanta United. It was great to watch that live. I really enjoyed that. Marco Fabian is fun too. I like him. Anyway, we will see you next time on the Why Hockey Podcast. We'll try to have some more guests and some more fun. And remember, you can hold the Panthers to a higher standard if you want to. It's not just about having it, it's about having a winning team.
Yeah, I highly suggest, especially if Montembeau is not playing in any home games, not going to any games the rest of this year. And if you are going, to make
Bring the
sure
plane
that,
banner with you.
well, if you want Montembeau to be the starter next year, bring a sign. If you want Bobrovsky to be a starter next year, bring a sign. If you want a new coach next year, if you want Coach Q, bring a sign,
If they let you into the organization, if not, how about stand outside on the JetBlue tarmac and stand there with the sign? They can't kick you out of there.
The JetBlue tarmac.
I know, I know.
Jesus.
I know, Tommy, I know. Anyway.
Team is owned by a bunch of hucksters.
Well, isn't that professional sports? Anyway.
I mean, that is, yeah, professional
Until
sports.
next time, my Y hockey friends.